Good morning again. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, once again for this day. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together in your name, in your presence. Bless your people this morning, Lord. Bless us with your word. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your love. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord, and pour out on your people all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven. Lord, we need you. We need your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, This morning we're going to be in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. That was the opening scripture. You know, I got in a conversation a few weeks ago with somebody that likes to argue. And he was talking about how there's two Bethlehems. And actually there is. There's one in Galilee, and there's one near Jerusalem. And he was saying that he wasn't sure which one Jesus was born in. But yet, if he were to read the Bible, you know. But thou, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Galilee isn't in Judah. So, it's exactly where we think it is. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the birthplace of Jesus, because it was the birthplace of David. And God orchestrated it, put it all together so that he would be born there. The things he had to do, that's amazing. The things he had to do. Why keep losing? It's gone. What's wrong, Mark? What's wrong with Mark? Okay. Well, there it is. It's back. Boy, it seems like you just turn your head just a little bit. You've lost it all. Anyway, we're familiar with this passage. This is quoted in Matthew. When the wise men came and they were seeking the new king. And Herod asked his scribes and the Pharisees where he was to be born. And they quoted this verse 2. But actually, if you read everything that we read this morning, verse 2 isn't the only messianic verse in that passage. It's all about Jesus. But we know that the Bible is all about Jesus anyway, don't we? Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath said, laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. The nation of Israel had lost favor with God. They'd fallen from his favor. They did it several times. It seemed like every time they did it, every time that they turned away from him, then God increased the penalty. And he does that with us. When we turn away from him, it gets worse than it did last time. So I guess that tells us we shouldn't do that, right? We have to remain true to him. O daughter of troops, he hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Who's he talking about when he says troops? Is he talking about those that are going to rise up and help Israel? Or is he talking about those that are going to be against Israel? I believe he's talking about those that are going to be against Israel. Because he's going to summon. The Bible talks about whistling for his servant, Nebuchadnezzar, to come and teach his children. to teach them the lessons they have to learn the hard way. Verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been found of old, from everlasting. It starts out with the word but. Yes, there's going to be judgment. Yes, there's going to be, God's going to penalize his people for what, for turning away from him. But there's going to be a solution to the problem. There's going to be a remedy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee. That's the way God works. First Corinthians 1:26-31. For ye shall see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God uses the foolish things. He uses the weak things. He uses the small things. Jesus wasn't born in a palace in a big city. He was born in a little tiny town. He was born in a manger, in a stable. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. There are two names. Both names were for the same town. I'm going to come back to this a little later. Bethlehem Ephratah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. He's to be a ruler. Jesus Christ is being talked about here. He is a ruler. He's a ruler over sickness. He's a ruler over demons. He's a ruler over nature. He's a ruler over sin. He's a ruler over death. He has total authority. Luke 1:32-33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Be permanent. Isaiah 32:1 says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Once again, talking about Jesus Christ. You know, we find Jesus all through the Old Testament. And you think about it, in the book of Acts, they had to preach the gospel, and the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. And yet, they preached Jesus Christ out of the Old Testament. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Whose goings forth? As one commentator said, his emanations. Emanations, that's something that's issued from a source. His emanations will be like the rays of the sun. They'll be continuous, they'll be permanent. And they will go forth and fulfill the purpose. Deuteronomy 8:3. I do have a lot of scripture for you this morning. I don't think it bothers anybody a whole lot. Deuteronomy 8:3. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word that goeth forth out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word. Isaiah 55:10-11, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth and the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Every word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, He already was. And what's the Bible call Him? The Word. God has something to say. He speaks to His Son. The Word. That's how He expresses everything. So in the beginning, He already was. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Proverbs 8, 22 and 23, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 3, therefore will He give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. He shall give them up. He shall send them into captivity. He did it several times. You'd think the southern kingdom would have learned when the northern kingdom went into captivity first. You'd think they would have learned from that, from everything that happened. But then they rejected Jesus Christ and God dispersed them throughout the whole world. You know, it's amazing, but I was talking to someone about this the other day, but there's a sociological... I studied sociology in college, and there's a rule that applies to sociology. And it's a lot like Newton's law of gravity. If an apple falls off a tree, it's going to fall down. It's a law. That's the way it is. You ever seen it not happen that way? But just like that, in sociology, there's a rule, there's a law. That if a people go into captivity, if a people get away from their environment, from their home, from their culture, after just a few generations, they'll be assimilated into that culture. But that hasn't happened with Israel. It's one of the most, it's like apples falling up, because it's not supposed to happen. And yet God has protected them. God said about Israel, you will be an astonishment to me. You'll be an astonishment to everybody. He's maintained them. Even the Hebrew language was lost, and they rediscovered it. That's how far away from their culture they should have been. Just when you think that it's just, there's no hope at all, He brings them back. I will give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Until the time that literally that she that shall bring forth shall have brought forth. Who? Who's being talked about here? One woman that's giving birth to one special child is who's being talked about here. Jesus Christ. Then the remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Of course, that's been happening. Since 1948, that's been happening. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And he shall stand and feed. He shall stand guard. He shall feed his sheep. He's a shepherd. Jesus talked about that in John. The good shepherd. Says in the strength of the Lord. In the authority of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord. His God. God's name was in him. Exodus 23, 20 and 21, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into a place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him." Who's being talked about here? Jesus Christ is being talked about here. My name is in him. "And they shall abide, for now. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." Verse 5, "And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men." He shall be our peace. Jesus Christ, our peace, our Prince of Peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." No matter what's going on, we have peace about it, don't we? Because we know. We know the maker of the wind. We know the creator of the rain, the storm. You will have peace. Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Ephesians 2:14 tells us that he is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace as a priest, making atonement for our sin and reconciling us to God. He is our peace as a king, conquering our enemies and quieting our fears. "Then shall we raise up against them 7 shepherds and 8 principal men." 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Shepherds are full of care and tenderness. Principal men, or princes of men, are full of courage and authority. It says 7 or 8. He doesn't need thousands, does he? Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Deuteronomy says that that one shall chase 1,000, 2 shall put to flight 10,000. Numbers aren't important to God. Just ask Gideon. He took 300 men into battle with the Midianites, 125,000 people. 300 against. The number could have been a lot higher, but God kept whittling it down because, no, that's too many. That's too many. I don't like the odds yet. Okay, you got 300. Go get them. 300. Verse 6. "And they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders." What is the Assyrian? I can give you some examples of Assyrians that maybe caused a little bit of trouble for Israel. One is Nimrod. Of course, Israel didn't exist then, but yet he rebelled against God. Sennacherib was the king that invaded Israel during the time of Hezekiah. Haman. We've all heard that name, right? These are all Assyrians. Another one, which surprised me, Antiochus Epiphanes. But he was Greek. He was in the Greek army, but he was Assyrian. He was born either in Iran or Syria, depending. He was born in what was Assyria. Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was Egyptian. Yeah. But in the book of Acts, where Stephen is giving his history lesson to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, another Pharaoh shall rise up that knew not Joseph. Another. There's two Greek words for another. One of them is allos, which means another of the same kind. And the other, which is true in this case, is heteros, which means another of a different kind. Apparently, Assyria had taken over Egypt and put one of their people on the throne, as Pharaoh. Isaiah 52:4. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. The Assyrian, all those ones I mentioned, are all forerunners of the Antichrist. He specializes in fightings on the outside and fears on the inside. Internally, fears, and externally, battles. He's a terrorist. So we see a picture of the Antichrist in every one of those. Today is the first Sunday of the month. And you know what that means. We get to celebrate. We get to do something in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We remember His blood. We remember His body. We remember His sacrifice. We'll be partaking of the bread and the grape juice. We'll be partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. When did He first appear in flesh and blood? When was His body and blood first revealed? Going back to verse 2. For thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. When did He first appear in His flesh and blood? He was all throughout the Old Testament, but He wasn't flesh and blood. There was a physical presence, there was a physical appearance. But at His birth, it's talked about here in Micah, in Bethlehem, Ephratah. As I said, both names were for the same city. The Hebrews have a blessing for just about everything. Their blessing for bread is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Homotzi Lekim Mian Heretz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. That means He allows it to grow. He allows it to flourish and become bread. But it also means something else, doesn't it? And we're going to be celebrating that in a couple of weeks. It's when the bread of life also was brought forth from the earth. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. And He also said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Bethlehem, in Hebrew, is Bet Lekim. That word Lekim was written in the middle of that blessing. It means bread. Bet is house or place of. House of bread. You know, Hebrew letters themselves, each letter has a meaning. And if you can dig up the meaning of each letter, and you put it together, it can give you a definition. Sometimes it's different than what you think it would be, but yet it always complements. It always says what it needs to say. Another definition, if you put the letters together, is into the heat, into the fire. How do you make bread? You put it into the heat. You put it into the fire. When sacrifices were offered, they were offered with fire. Fire represents judgment. He suffered our judgment. He paid our penalty on the cross. For the wine, the grape juice, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Bori Pri Hagafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, who gave us the fruit of the vine. Bori Pri Hagafen, or Para Hagafen. The word, they're the same. Pari or para comes from the word ephratah. Para or pari means fruit. Pari hagafen, gafen means a vine. So the fruit of the vine. But there's another definition for para too. It means heifer, one of the sacrificial animals that they had to offer as a sacrifice. I see some puzzled looks on some faces. Yet Jesus was every animal that was sacrificed. Every sacrifice was a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. Carried the characteristic of him, was a forerunner of him. Heifer. As I said, this morning is Communion Sunday, and we're going to partake of that now. Bill, you and John, this is going to be the last Sunday for John. Going to have to find someone else to pick on. Next month, he's going home to Idaho next. Well, he's going to have one more week with us. First Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's brother. That means not knowing, not caring, not affected by his sacrifice for us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Bill. Verse 28 says, examine yourself. We do this every month, don't we? Every month I tell you the same thing. Close your eyes. Talk to God. If there's things in your heart that you need to correct, talk to Him about it. Because there's no reason why anyone here cannot partake of this. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it now. Talk to Him about it. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins. If you've turned away, then talk to Him about it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed, that I might serve You. Maybe you have something yet somebody else. You need to talk to the Lord about it. Because we're all just patients in a hospital, aren't we? If anyone here is perfect, then stay away from me because I'm not. You know, sometimes we can use that as an excuse, as a crutch to lean on. Examine yourselves. Talk to God. Thank You, Jesus. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? I should have asked that before Bill and John sat down. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for this bread. We thank You, Lord, for the body that You gave for us. You allowed Yourself to be beaten beyond recognition, Lord. And we thank You for it. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Lord, we thank You for the blood that You shed for us. The blood that cleanses us. We sang that song, are You washed in the blood? Are Your garments clean? Are Your garments white? You made it possible, Lord, for that to happen by the shedding of Your blood. We thank You. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. He's coming back. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. The name above all names. our peace, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, and the resurrected living Son of God. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you would save a wretch like each one of us is. Unable to stand before you, Lord. The only thing we can plead is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do. We thank you. Lord, bless your people today. Be with us, Lord. We need you. As the world gets darker and darker, Lord, help our light, the light of you, shine brighter to this world, Lord. Be with each one of us, Lord, as we go our ways, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.